Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 18th, 2017. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever used or heard the phrase, "When I went to school, I had to walk uphill both ways in a foot of snow with no boots"? Usually you hear that phrase, or someone likes to pull that phrase out when somebody's complaining. They're complaining about how rough they have it. And we start to think back to the past, and we start to think, well, they don't really have it rough at all, once you remember what we've been through. Some other examples that maybe if you've never heard that phrase before. This little thing here is pretty nice to have. But I think it's something that nowadays kids take for granted. I can probably not go through one day without seeing kids in high school throwing these, because it's just a phone. But you really don't cherish this phone unless you can remember back when you wanted to make a phone call and you had to walk into the kitchen and you sat down and then you had to open up the phone book, find the person's name, and then you had to dial the number, 8, and then you watch the number go back, 7, and then you watch it go back. And then you finally got the person on the phone, and you're talking to them, and you're getting kind of tired and you want to get up and walk, but you can only walk about 5 feet before the cord on the phone is pulling you back, and you have to sit down. You don't really cherish the cell phone unless you remember the past. I would also think of our televisions. Wasn't it nice that you can sit in your recliner today and you can page through or surf through like 70, 80 channels, find something that you like? But I bet there are many of you that remember sitting on a chair and watching 4 stations maybe, and it was in black and white. And if you wanted to change the station, you had to get up, you had to walk over the TV, and you had to turn the antenna. You don't cherish sitting on your recliner going through 60 channels unless you remember the past. For our newer kids here today, this will be the one 20 years from now. If you ever seen the hoverboards, 2 wheels about this big, you stand on it and you go. And I have to admit, they're kind of fun. Kids have brought them to school. I've whipped up and down the halls of WLA. They are a lot of fun. But I remember in 20 years from now, those of you that are younger here, when you have children, will probably say to your kids, "Well, when I went to school, we had to walk from classroom to classroom." The list could go on when you start to think about that idea. But that's what I want you to think about. If you understand the past, you really appreciate what you have now. We're going to look at that in our Christian faith. Because I think sometimes in our Christian faith, we take it for granted. So I think we have to look at the past. And the reading that I have chosen for today comes from a book that I would imagine many of you have never read in the Bible. You might have been that person that one year thought to themselves, "This year, I'm going to read the Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation." And you start reading, and you're doing okay. You're going through the book of Genesis and creation and the story of Abraham and all those stories and Noah, and you're okay. And then you get to the book of Exodus. And you got that story of Moses, and Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And towards the end of Exodus, the children of Israel make it to Mount Sinai. Then there's that last part of the book of Exodus that kind of leads them through building of the tabernacle. And you start to think, well, this is kind of tedious, and this really has nothing to do with me. But you get through that. But then you get to the book of Leviticus. And I would imagine that many of you have never read from cover to the end, from the beginning to the end, the book of Leviticus. It is filled with guidelines and rules for the children of Israel. There are no stories in there. Really nothing about individuals or people. It starts with the sacrifices that the children of Israel had to give. Then it gets into this clean and unclean animals, animals we've never even heard of before. Then it gets into the priestly office and what the priest is supposed to do. And then it gets into the festivals that they were supposed to celebrate. It gets into all the do's and don'ts of being a child of God, the children of Israel. Most people, that whole plan of reading from Genesis to Revelation ends at the book of Leviticus, the third book. Because it's just filled with all this stuff for the children of Israel. And you look at it and you think, why do I need to read this? Well, that's what I've chosen for today. I've chosen a reading from Leviticus chapter 4. It is one of the sacrifices that the children of Israel were asked to offer. It is under the sin offering. And so there were five main offerings that the children of Israel had. And this is one of them. I'm going to read it from Leviticus chapter 4. You can follow along, I believe. But as you're looking at it, I want you to picture what this would have been like. I want you today to go back into the past and understand what this was like. So this is a sin offering. If someone brings a lamb as their sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. They are to lay their hand on its head and slaughter it for a sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering. He'll pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the food offerings presented to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. All this stuff, why do I need to know this? And yet, like I said, let us go back. And let us walk in the foot of these Old Testament Christians who had the tabernacle. They just come out of Egypt. And as I said, this was an offering that was given as a sin offering, which means that you are going to give the offering if you have sinned. So let's go back. Have you sinned? Have you lied? Have you been selfish? Have you been uncaring? Have you gossiped? Have you broken one of the Ten Commandments? And I could go on and on. But we know because of our sinful nature. We sin daily. So we're part of this. And so we are now required by God to bring a sin offering. So what do? Well, we got to get a lamb. So either I'm have my own lambs that I'm going to go out and I'm going to pick one of my lambs. It has to be a female. It has to be without defect. It has to be one of my best lambs that I have. And if you don't have any lambs, then you got to go buy one. And so you go to the dealer and you pull out the wallet and you get some money out because you have to pay for this lamb, which I'm sure is probably a good penny because it's one of the best lambs that you can get. So now you get this lamb. Now you can either pick it up and carry it because I got to get this lamb to the tabernacle. So I'm going to carry it or I'm going to put a collar around it maybe and I'm going to lead this lamb to the tabernacle. And so off we go. Now imagine this, and I always think of this when I go through the sacrifice going, this was something. Because as I'm walking with this lamb, or I'm carrying this lamb, I'm walking down the streets of the city that you're in, or the tents of the children of Israel, and I'm kind of weaving through the tents, and I'm heading towards the tabernacle, which could have been a pretty good journey. But as I'm walking, carrying this lamb, the neighbor looks out the door and sees me carrying the lamb. Now, use your sinful nature, and what's the first thing that my neighbor thinks? I wonder what Bob did. And off you go. Okay? And that's what you're going to get as you walk through the city. People are going to see you doing this. And they're going to wonder, and the rumors are going to fly. Imagine if they had Facebook and Twitter. What would go out there? Okay? People are talking. But a lot of people are doing this because we are all sinful. And so I take this lamb. I make this journey. I get to the tabernacle. I take my hand and I place it on that lamb, symbolizing that that sin that I am bringing this lamb for, that I am remembering, is now being transferred to this lamb. Now the part that most people do not understand, but it was in our reading. It is now my job, after I have placed my hand on that lamb, to pull out a knife. This is not for the priest to do. This is for you to do. That lamb that you have just carried, maybe even talked to it, maybe even named it, but you kind of petted it as you went all the way to the tabernacle. I am now going to take a knife, and I am going to kill that lamb. Now, if you read through them, that's very graphic when you go through all the sacrifices and all the ins and outs of the sacrifices. But just that thought, that it's my role to kill that poor little animal. And then the priest is going to take some of that blood, and he's going to dab it on the altar. He's going to pour some at the base of the altar. And while he's doing that, I'm going to be cutting out some of the parts of that lamb. And then the priest is going to come back and take some of those parts, and he's going to take them up, and he's going to burn them on the altar, on the burnt offering. This was not just, here's a lamb. I was involved in this. You were involved in the killing and the cutting up of this lamb. And then it's all done. And then you turn around, and you are able to leave, trusting in that promise that God had given them, that your sins are forgiven. For that sin that you brought that poor animal for has been forgiven. The Old Testament sacrifices showed the people over and over. And the Old Testament people understood that the reason that they were alive was because something had to die. That's the past. That's what they went through. That's what the people saw every day. We kind of do something similar, one would think. We don't kill animals, but think of our morning. And think about what you went through this morning. You made a conscious, I thought, that you were going to come to church today. You got up this morning and you got your nice clothes on, and you got in your vehicle, and you drove to church. You figured that today, about an hour or 2 hours of your day was going to be dedicated to God. And then you came in and you stood here, and we confessed our sins before God, and we heard that our sins are forgiven. What a blessing that we hear that when we think about our week, that our sins are forgiven. And yet here's where sometimes I think we take it for granted. The Old Testament people understood the seriousness of that sin. They understood that they were killing that poor lamb because of something they had done. I think sometimes we take it for granted. It's to stand there when you hear those words that our sins are forgiven. It's to be reminded. It's to be reminded of our Savior, and that it was His blood that was shed. It was his sacrifice that he hung on the cross for our sins. That should be that picture that goes through our mind each and every day, especially when we stand here and we think that through our Savior Jesus, our sins are forgiven. It wasn't just something he said, but it's what he did for us. It's like that poor little lamb that the Old Testament people had to kill. It's what our Savior did for us. It reminds me of an event back in January of 1982. A flight 90 out of Florida was crashed into the Potomac River, the icy Potomac River. 70-some people were aboard this plane. Only 6 people survived the crash. And there they were in the icy Potomac when the Coast Guard finally arrived. They saw the people that were still alive, and they threw the life ring out so that they could put it around them and they could hoist them up to the helicopter. And they threw it out, and the first person that received the ring was Arland Williams, was his name. And he got that ring, and he took it, and he gave it to the person next to him. And that person went up to the helicopter. And then the helicopter threw it back down again, and there he was again, and he took that ring, and he gave it to the person next to him again. And this went on and on until all those that were still alive were up safely into the helicopter. And then threw it back down one more time. Arlen Williams. But Arlen Williams didn't put it around himself because he had died in the icy water. Now, I can't imagine that those people that received that ring from Arlen Williams, when they wake up each morning, cannot think, when they open their eyes and see the beauty of another day, cannot think about Arlen Williams and what he had done for them. But that's the picture of our Savior Jesus. That's what we cherish and have in our Christian faith. Now, you can turn on your TV and you can read the paper, you can talk to people on the street, and you can understand that our Christian faith is being attacked all the time. And sometimes it's even easy for us to think, is it really worth it? Well, that's why I cherish the book of Leviticus. Because when you go back and you see the past and you see what God had given to them and what God had done for them, it helps us cherish what we have today. When you go in the back and you see that they had a God that promised to bring them to the promised land, that we have a God too, that as God brought them to the promised land, God has also promised to do that for each of us. In my home, my favorite picture, and maybe some of you have seen this before, and I know it's going to be kind of hard in the way in the back to see this, but this is my favorite picture, my favorite Christian picture, especially when you think of Father's Day. How many times don't you have this picture of the father working off on the bench, and there's the little boy just playing on the ground? Well, that little boy is our Savior Jesus. And when you got the sun shining through there, you have a picture of a shadow of an individual, usually. But in this picture, it's not a shadow of Jesus, it's a shadow of the cross. Because that's why our Savior came. His one sole purpose, to be that lamb. And he lived and he grew up that, and he lived that perfect life, so he was out without defect, so that he could die on the cross and shed his blood for us. Remembering the past helps us cherish what we have today. It goes for many things in our world today, but it certainly goes to our Christian faith too. Don't just throw away that book of Leviticus. Read through it, understand what God was showing them, and see the blessings that we have today. Cherish that blood of our Savior Jesus. Amen.